It's nice to know others care. This can be discovered in a phone call, text message, email, or even by a letter or card found in the mailbox. These simple acts of kindness remind us that those God has placed in our life love us and care for us. They comfort us and even challenge us to live for God. I believe that's what happened when Timothy read the letter he received from Paul. It was the day Timothy was challenged. Let's read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Let's begin with the person in our passage, and that's Timothy. Timothy's information is found only in the Bible. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Then came he," speaking of Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek." This tells us that Timothy was a native of Derbe or Lystra. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we read that his mother was a Jewess named Eunice, and his grandmother was a pious lady named Lois. Timothy accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. And we find that Paul cared for Timothy. He even referred to him as his own son in the faith. It's likely Paul was the one that led Timothy to Jesus Christ. Definitely, Paul was the one used by God to train and prepare Timothy for service. In this letter, Paul's love for Timothy is clear. Well, let's consider the problem. Timothy was called upon to carry out a difficult task. He was to set things in order at the church in Ephesus. Timothy was a young man in the midst of a thriving worldly city. So there was a reason Paul was concerned. He knew Timothy would be tempted to set aside his faithfulness. Timothy was also dealing with some difficult people in the church. Selfish and worldly Christians who wanted their way instead of seeking after God's will. It was Timothy's responsibility to teach them to seek after God. And to make things worse, Timothy would likely face opposition from outside the church. Those in the area that saw Christianity as a problem to their worldly pursuits, they would harass and maybe persecute the believers in Ephesus. So to succeed, Timothy would have to be faithful to God, trusting the Lord to provide. Paul wrote this letter to his friend so he would remain faithful and be successful in serving the Lord. He instructed Timothy concerning God's work at Ephesus and proper service to God. He also directed Timothy concerning church leadership, which reminds us that when leadership fails, the church struggles. But when leadership is strong, the church is blessed. Paul also provided instruction concerning personal conduct. The character of the man in office is what is important. Spiritual leaders must be godly men. Like Paul, let's encourage others, and if need be, challenge them to remain faithful to God. Let's consider some practical lessons from this passage that I believe will not only encourage us, but challenge us in our walk with God. We'll begin with distractions, which were numerous in Ephesus. There were many things that could draw Timothy away from his service to God. Entertainment. The city had a theater and was home to many athletic competitions. Timothy could have spent his time at either one or both. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with most entertainment, but here's the problem. If we permit it to take the time we should spend on our God-given responsibilities and glorifying God. Don't let anything interfere with your Bible study and prayer life. And make sure time is spent with your family. Another thought, money and financial gain. The city offered riches to those that worked for it. At the end of this letter, Paul reminded Timothy that there is nothing wrong with money, or work of course, just the love of money. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Timothy could have chased the world's riches. The temptation was there. Sin. Timothy could have spent his time seeking his personal desires. Simply living for self instead of for God. Or even worse, living only to gratify his flesh. Beware, Christian. There are many distractions in this world. It's tempting to grab the remote instead of the Bible. And sometimes easier to browse the internet than to talk with God. Now, there's nothing wrong with either one of those things. The problem is when we fail to give God the time He deserves. The challenge to Timothy was to avoid the distractions and remain faithful to the Lord. Second, dangers. Dangers. Religion being one, the city was famous for its temple to the false goddess Diana. It was packed with those seeking to worship the false god. Because of this, Timothy would be tempted to compromise, set aside his beliefs or convictions, and settle for something less, in order to be friends with others or to have fellowship amongst the world. This was a great danger to his ministry, and a great danger to all ministries today. Another danger was magic and sorcery. Ephesus was a place where the evil spirits worked. Paul dealt with them and even cast some out of a man. Well, of course, these evil spirits would oppose Timothy, so he would need God's strength to do the Lord's work. Again, we mentioned money. Not so much Timothy, but others. Those that live for money will often do anything to keep it. Paul discovered this. In the book of Acts, we read of Demetrius and others attacking Paul because his teachings led people out of religion to God through Jesus Christ. It also led the people away from the lucrative businesses that thrived from making idols. We find in that passage that sinful men and women will fight hard to gain or keep their worldly treasures. It's all they have. There were many other dangers to his faithfulness. What we find is Paul encouraged Timothy to find strength in the Lord and remain faithful to God. The third consideration is discouragement. Discouragement from people. Timothy was there to strengthen the church, but some would struggle to follow his leadership due to his age and inexperience. Paul warned him of this, and Timothy was to be prepared. He was to glorify God and live correctly before the people. Eventually, he would earn their respect. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, this is Paul's words. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy was not to let the worldly conduct of others discourage his faithfulness to God. And I encourage you to do the same. Be faithful to God, no matter what others say or what others do. He could also be discouraged by the place. Ephesus was filled with sin. And after a while, it would have been easy for Timothy to conclude that his work had no value. But that's not true. This letter reminded Timothy that he was there for a purpose. God could and would work through his life. Likewise, the Lord is able to place you where he can best work through your life. Even difficult situations or remote locations. Don't get discouraged with circumstances. Put your faith in God. Trust Him. Another discouragement may have been just personal. We'll call it discontentment. To struggle with where God has placed, with what God has allowed, or with how God is working. Timothy would have to be content with being in Ephesus. He would have to be content with the work that God had for him. At the end of the letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, Paul shared this with Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, to be content requires faith. One must trust that God has not deserted, but continues to work in their life, even when they don't see Him at work. Next is delay. Delay. Timothy's length of stay in Ephesus was indefinite. He would have to remain until the Lord led him elsewhere. That can be difficult, because it's nice to know where we're going or when something will end. When neither is known, doubts may creep into the heart. And sometimes, faithfulness is set aside because of those doubts. Remember, the Lord knows tomorrow and what is best for today. Timothy's work would take time. Paul never promised Timothy it would be easy. Instead, the letter is filled with encouragement because it was difficult. Sometimes faithfulness is neglected because we see no immediate results. For example, when we pray, the answer is not given immediately, we might become discouraged or even discontent. Another example, when we witness, tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ. If they're disinterested, It may discourage us from being a witness to someone else. Another example, how about when seeking the Lord's direction? We study the Word, we take the concern to the Lord in prayer, yet the answer doesn't come immediately. We are required to wait. And in waiting, our faithfulness to God is tested. While waiting, we must remain faithful and trust the Lord to work in His time. Next, direction. Direction. If Timothy were to be faithful, he would need to know how. This letter tells him what is needed. But you will notice it begins with faithfulness. Nothing else would matter if Timothy were unfaithful. Little can be accomplished without faithfulness. Determine to be faithful to God every single day. Begin your day with God. Walk with Him throughout the day. And finish each day with the Lord. Constantly seek His will and not yours. At the end of this letter, Paul again encouraged Timothy to remain faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he said this, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." In closing, I would like to leave you with two thoughts. The first one, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful in salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is faithful in saving souls. If you need to be saved today, I encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord. Put your faith in God. Come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Also, God is faithful to those that belong to Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we read, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, in life there are some things that are uncertain. Actually, most things, or a lot of things. But something we can always count on is God's faithfulness. He will never leave us. He will always be there to hear our prayers, to give direction, and to offer wisdom. It's good to know that God is faithful. And the second thought, in closing, is be faithful to God. Just like Paul encouraged Timothy, be faithful to God.